All right. They told me that you would need a few minutes to do this, so I thought I'd give you as long as you needed. This helps me to understand a lot. You know, all I've been able to do for the last 2 years since I've been here, coming in at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, and then I pretty much have to leave. I understand now why the classes begin as they do. Students, you know. But anyway, but that's okay. That's all good. I'm happy with that. I can work with it. I am glad to be here. It's obviously been a while since I have been in this capacity. And my wife and I moved and went and took a church in California in 2010. And so we left from here in 2010. And then came back to the area about 5 years ago. And then Brother Wilkerson and had asked, we were trying to work out if there was some opportunity for me to teach here. And then a couple of years ago, I think it is now, Brother Stubblefield called and asked. And I was glad to see that the timing and the scheduling and all that worked out. I do enjoy teaching. It does. He mentioned Dr. Evans a few minutes ago. And being able to work with him, obviously, those of you who've had me in the class, you know I talk about Dr. Evans a lot. Obviously, you know who Dr. Evans is. He was the college president for years, and I had the privilege of being able to work with him, and that was, to me, it's still the highlight of my life, and I realize how important it was for me to have been able to have done that. And I do not know a better Christian than Dr. Wendell Evans. And I would say he was a great man when I was in my 20s, And now that I am 60, I look back on my opportunities, and I really thank God for them, for the opportunities that I've had. And in my classes, I always, as you know, those of you who've been able to be in them, I always at the beginning of it, I do it. I don't say it casually. I say it very seriously. I hope that we all take advantage of the opportunities you've been given, that you get in life. And I think one of the best yeses I ever said, other than choosing to marry my wife, and choosing to accept Christ as my personal Savior, was saying yes on that day to Dr. Evans when he asked if I would be able to come on staff, and obviously it was a great opportunity, and so many wonderful things have happened. I did grow up here. I grew up and went to Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist Junior High, and the high school. And then, of course, I waited 2 years. I didn't go straight to college. I worked in a business. And then after that, at 20, I came. And then when I graduated, that's when Dr. Evans asked me to work with him. And what a great opportunity it's been. Every morning when I go out and I leave from home, I pass the place that he is staying right now, obviously in a hospital type of setting. And I know the room he's in. And I know the floor he's in, and I always literally see as I drive by and I'm going to hit 94, I can look up and I can always realize that he's there. And very, very important man. And so when I walk back in here, I often, obviously the platform's totally different. Literally, I've been coming in here, but I've never really come into the chapel than sliding the door back there a few times. But obviously this is all different up here. The platform and everything looks much different. But when I think of chapel here, I think of the times when Dr. Evans led us, and what a beautiful chapel, and you're keeping the spirit up, and I greatly appreciate that. But I want to talk to you this morning about something that I think, matter of fact, I was in my own personal Bible readings, and so I fell across this, and for some reason it got a hold of me. And it's an old story. It's a story that all of you have heard. Some of you preacher boys could probably have this all probably thought out in your mind. It's one of those typical passages that everybody uses. But there's a lot in it. There's a lot in this passage here. So go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Obviously, I do look around. I see Mrs. Flesher that introduced my wife there. And thank God for her. And then also I see Brother Stubblefield, and I thought I saw Brother Pins, if I'm right. I think I see Brother Pins back there. These ways lights are shining down, it's kind of hard to see you. In some cases, that's good. But anyway, it's good to see some of you that are here. I got to speak with Brother Goodall a little bit here, and it was good to see him. Genesis chapter 4, let me go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to hop right into it. And I just ask that you give me a hearing and listening. Dr. Evans used to always write on the board the moment we walked into class. He'd always sit and say, don't talk, listen, take good notes. And that's literally the first thing he would do when he walked into a classroom at the beginning of a semester. And so I ask you to give me a good hearing today. I think this is for you. I think it's also for me, even at my age. I think it's even for people. I have a lot of older people in my church. It's a country church. And so there's a lot of older people, and they need a pastor too in a church, and I'm so glad that the Lord's led me in that way. But everybody needs it. And I just got done reading a good book, believe it or not, on Martin Luther. And as I got done, one of the illustrations in it really stood out to me about how that Luther's coming to the end of his life. And Luther was a big subject for Dr. Evans. He loved studying Luther. Anytime he was going to be videotaped for some promotional video for the college. They would ask him to teach a little bit, come into the room and take a class, and he would come in and just start teaching. He always chose Luther. Luther, obviously, doctrinally, is not somebody we look to, as Dr. Evans would say, but he is somebody with his courage. Brother Hiles would always say to young preacher boys, don't study his doctrine, but study his courage and the way he stood up and fought for what he believed and how powerful that was. But Luther was coming to the end of his life. And he'd been sick, and matter of fact, I read this about the time that myself just a few years ago had a little bit of a bout, and I spent about 5 weeks in a hospital and just going in and out, and the doctors were trying to find what's wrong with me, and I still don't think they know, but I'm okay, I'm fine and everything, but I was just going in and out of the hospital, and just after that, I read a book by Eric Metaxas on Luther. And he tells a story about how that Luther's coming to the end of his life. His health is hurting him. He's really upset about his health. And after he deals with a few things, he's very sickly. He feels as though his faith is shrinking and that he's getting bitter. He's letting his sickness take over. And he's getting like questioning God, like, why are you allowing me to have at this time in my life? Such ill health. And some of the things that he was having was the same thing I had just had myself. So it kind of drove it home. But the point with being made was that even in Luther's life, he knew that he had to get around the right type of people and let the right type of people influence him. I've always, when I would speak to youth, young people, especially when I was younger and speaking more to youth, one of the chapters I always love to use was Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man and who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then other passages where it would talk, warn us about who we run with, and then also tell us who to run with. And I see Luther, when he gets sick, what is the first thing he does? He realizes, I'm in a weakened state, I'm scared, I'm not. Being as thankful as I should to the Lord, my faith is slacking. And what did he do? He went and got around a good man that he knew that could lift him up. And Dr. Evans was a perfect example of that kind of a man, of somebody that you got around, you were going to be lifted up. Never saw him say a critical word about anybody. Never saw him have a critical spirit towards anybody. He was just an amazing man that way. And so even in Luther's life, he comes to a point where health got the better of him, and he knew that he needed to get into God's word, and he needed to get around God's people, and he needed to get around the kind of people that could lift him up and help him be what he needed to be. And so I want to talk to you about this morning about two young men, and I think they're a perfect example for us today. Matter of fact, when you go to read your Bible and such, and in Hebrews 11, it starts talking about great men of faith. The first person it starts talking about is Abel. And it talks about how he had great faith and thereby great obedience. That didn't happen by accident. I believe Abel chose to do the right thing. That's what I'm going to challenge you to do today is do the right thing. I'd like to compare these two young men. We often hear about the topic of the way of Cain. What about the way of Abel? We preach a lot about the way of Abel. Abel did it right. Abel did it real right. Matter of fact, if you look to Hebrews 11, don't do it for the time of sake. Just trust me that this is what it says. But it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Matter of fact, the author there is telling us that his faith was so great that even later in other passages, Abel's often referred to as a person of great faith. Now, how did he become that? I think the first thing that he did is he got in God's word. He was taught the truth. And I think that we ought to all remember the most important thing that you could do each day is start out your day in God's word. Most important thing that we could do. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that in some cases the iPhone is doing more to damage us than probably just about anything else. Put the phone down. Pick up the word of God. Read what the Bible has for you. And I think that Abel did that. Clearly, Abel was a man, a young man that was being taught. Obviously, the Bible talks to us in the beginning of Genesis about how that God came to Adam in the cool of the day, in the beginning of each day. He taught Adam. And then obviously, Adam took his boys and set them down and taught them. Obviously, Abel listened. Abel listened to what God had to say to his dad and listened to what his dad had to say to him. I like that whole connection there. God himself coming to man and then man passing it on to others. And that's what happened in Abel's life. And obviously God was able to greatly use him as a result of that. You say, well, how did God use Abel? Well, yep, I know that there's not much said other than he has great faith and that he was witnessed as being a righteous man. But at the same time, look at all throughout Bible history, how many of us read about Abel. And how Abel did it right. He accepted truth by faith, and then as a result of that, what did he do? He obeyed. His father taught him what God expects, what God wants, how to live by faith, and then how to act upon that. And he chose to do it. He chose to do it. And so I want to challenge you today, choose to be like Abel. Obviously, we often, when we lift up and we go to, as I told you to do, Genesis chapter 4, we often hear the story of Cain. But I want to point out some things here today and see how important his example is. Okay, let's start reading verse 1 there. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Occupations were fine right here. Nothing wrong with the occupations. One's a herder and the other one's a farmer. Nothing wrong with that. And so that's not the issue. We're doing fine. Then verse 3, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And that's where we start having a problem. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, often right there, most people will read through that, well, and they'll just think, well, the Lord, you know, why did it? Literally people will ask, why is it that God rejected Cain's offering? Well, clearly, it's not the type of offering that he was taught to give. It's not the type of offering that he was taught to give. Cain and Abel both were taught to give by faith and to give in obedience. And obviously at this point, what is Cain doing? He's choosing something other than the truth that he had been taught. I believe that The father, Adam, set them both down and taught them everything that God had taught him. And he passed it on, hoping that they would catch it and they would believe and have faith in God. Now, it is true that Adam was already a sinner himself and had sinned. He and mother, Eve, had sinned and as a result had brought the curse on to man. And so obviously Abel and Cain were going to be two young men that were going to have to deal with that curse. And so, but there was still a way out. Eve had been taught that one day there would be a redeemer who would come. And so what we're supposed to do is offer sacrifices unto that redeemer until he comes. In other words, you know this, that people back then were saved looking to the cross and of the promised deliverer that would come. Just like today, we sit here in history, standing here in 2022, looking back, and we have a place that we can look to, a cross, a place where we know that the Redeemer came, and he died on the cross, and he paid for our sins. And as a result of that, we're putting our faith, hopefully our lives, are a life of obedience in wanting to sacrifice the things of this world and sacrifice unto God in a holy, obedient way. Just like today, we go out and witness, and we'll have see some people. I mean, I've done this many times. And I've gone and witnessed, and I'll have somebody sit and let me go all the way through the plan of salvation so they hear the gospel. They hear the gospel. But then they'll look at you and sit and say, I don't think so. I don't want to do this. I don't care to do that. And sometimes I'm just amazed. You take a person all the way through it, and you think you're about ready to get them, and then lo and behold, what do they do? No, I don't think so. Or this is really what Cain did. Cain heard the truth, and here's what Cain did. I one time was over on Chestnut, over in Hammond, around over here, was across from the Columbia Center. And I saw a Hispanic man out cleaning his van, and I walked up to him, and I said, hey, do you got a few minutes? And he said, sure, he's very, very, very kind. And I looked at him and I asked him, I said, where do you go to church? And it just gave the typical kind of talk that we'll give to try to get some kind of a conversation going. And he looked at me and he said, I asked him, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good guy. He said, I'm a good guy. And I said, well, sir, you don't go to heaven because you're a good guy. You go to heaven because you put your faith in Christ. But he was of a different persuasion. He had heard another truth and had accepted that over the truth of this book. And so as a result of that, we know where the man is going as a result of that. Well, see, that's what Cain did here. Cain knew the thing that I'm supposed to do is give the kind of sacrifice that Abel did. But see, when Cain gave the bowl of fruit or what basket of fruit, whatever it was, he wasn't just giving God what he wanted to give. He was rejecting the whole faith system. He's rejecting the Redeemer to come. He's rejecting God's plan. He's rejecting God, is what he did. And so, there's more to the story. Look what it says here. But unto Cain and to his offering, let me back up. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Why? Abel did it right. Abel did it as he was taught. And Abel put his faith in the right things. Cain's putting his faith in himself and in the work of his own hands is what Cain is doing. Verse 5 tells us this. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Look at this next passage here. Number 6, can you imagine this? What a time this must have been. Number 6, and it says, and the Lord said unto Cain. That means the Lord came to Cain. Why art thou wroth? Why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? See, the Lord knew what Cain had been taught. He knew what Cain had been taught. Abel had been taught the same thing. And because of what Abel had been taught, Abel chose to believe it. And he didn't just choose to believe in the coming Messiah, or put his faith in that Redeemer to come and accept the truth, he began to live it by his obedience in giving the proper offering that he was supposed to give. He gave a proper life. He was giving obedience to the truth. All of us have a truth today. We're all hearing the truth. One of the greatest privileges of my life was to grow up at First Baptist Church and hear the Sunday school lessons, hear the preaching, hear the teaching, be able to go to the grade school and have Bible teachers. Well, I have no excuse. Cain had no excuse. That's how the Lord's coming to him right now. Why are you wroth? Why are you upset? You know, lots of times if we don't watch it, we even as Christians can get on our ear like Luther was afraid of. And if we don't watch it, we can fall away in our faith, and before we know it, we're in carnality. And usually you can see it. You can see when somebody's suffering from that, just by the way they walk in a room lots of times, just their whole appearance. And that's when you know something's wrong there, bless his heart. Something's wrong there, bless her heart. She needs some help. He needs some help. And verse 5 is what it says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." What's his problem? He's a little bit jealous over the fact that Abel's was accepted and his wasn't. Terrible illustration. But it's sometimes like when you're a teacher and you give a requirement sheet and you give a paper out. And you tell, these are the requirements of a paper. You got to have this, you got to have that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it's written right out for you. But then yet, out of about 50, you'll have one or two that'll really struggle with it. And they don't want to do it that way. And they'll pass it in their way. You give an F back. They look at the F and they're upset. They're wroth. Terrible example, but that happens. That's what's happening here. Cain knew the truth. Cain knew what to do. He just didn't want to do it. So it says here, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? What are you so angry about? What are you so long in the mouth about? What's that about?" And I like what the Lord says. But here's the other thing too. Stop and think. This is the Lord coming to Cain and questioning him like this. Really what the Lord's trying to do is trying to help him through. And he's going to try to explain, here, Cain, is your problem. Now, if you'll just do what I say here, I promise you, you'll be okay. Look at what he says, verse 7. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" In other words, Cain, I promise you, if you'll do what I taught your daddy and what your daddy taught you, because I know what he taught you, if you'll do that, all will be well. Your offering will be accepted too. You know, when you think about the Lord himself, and the Bible tells us he's not a respecter of persons. He just didn't choose. It wasn't a matter of, I like Abel's. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know many of you right now at all. There was a day when I was here, I thought I knew the students very, very well. And that's been a long time ago. That time has passed. And I like how I'm getting to know many of you, but I don't know you like I would have known the past, known some of the students of the past. And so, as I get to know you in class, I find those students I pointed out a few today to Lori, my wife, and said, very sweet person, very good spirit, very good attitude. But what I've learned, and from being here all these years, and what I was taught as a young man, lots of times, if I will just do what I've been taught, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. The system was for me. The system was for me. Nobody was working against me. When I went through school here, matter of fact, I wasn't going to say anything, but since she stood up and she introduced Lori, I want to brag on Mrs. Flesher. I truly do believe, let me put my glasses on to make sure I can see her. But I had her as a teacher, excellent English teacher. When you get done, you will know English if you apply yourself and you do what she asks you to do. But I remember one time she asked us to write a paper. I went to write my paper, and I thought I had done a pretty good job, and I got it back, and I got a C on it. And I thought, oh, wow. And so I went to her and asked, and of course, she was 100% right. And what it was is I needed to be a better writer. There's things that I needed to learn, and I admit that it was me. But I think she's one of the best English teachers that I had. And so, but she taught me. And she also taught me if I'll just learn what she has for me, I'll be far better off on my papers. And so, if thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, well, what's the answer? Sin lieth at the door. What the Lord is saying to Cain, I promise you, and this is the Lord himself coming to Cain and saying, trying to reason with Cain and trying to reiterate again the truth, that I promise you, if you'll just listen to the truth and do as you were instructed, I promise you, it'll end well. It'll end well. A lot of times people look at Abel and say, well, it didn't end well for him. Oh, yes, it did. Well, no, but he was murdered. How could it have ended well for him? Look at how Abel is bragged on all through Scripture. We see him as a positive person of faith. And matter of fact, in Hebrews, right off the bat, in that chapter 11, when it goes to start talking about men of faith and giving great examples, who's mentioned first? Now, you can say it's a matter of chronology, and it may be to a degree. But at the same time, Abel showed great faith. And as he did, God greatly blessed him for that. But you got to stop and think, all these years, Abel's name has been lifted up in a very, very positive way. And what did he do? He went straight to heaven. Now, what about Cain? Well, let's read on. Let's see what happens to Cain. And to think about this, the Lord himself is coming to correct him. The Lord himself is coming to correct him, but it doesn't make a difference in Cain's spirit. So it's not the person here that's going to teach him. It's not the person here that's preaching to him. It's not the person here that's trying to lead him correctly that has a wrong disposition. It's clearly Cain here. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8, and look at this. And Cain, he got mad. He's still getting madder and madder. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? The Lord came to him again, knowing again exactly what he had done and what had happened. But he's coming to question Cain. Cain, what have you done? And look at how he answered. And he said, I know not. Right off the bat, he lied to the Lord. He lied to the Lord. And then sarcastically said, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth up unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Look at what you've done, Cain. You allowed your lack of faith to bring you down. He chose not to believe the truth. He chose to do his own thing, find his salvation through his own good works, through his own dealings, rejecting God's plan. And then as a result, what did he do? He got angry. Angry with the younger brother that the younger brother did what exactly what he's supposed to. Sometimes you're going to find out in your life, you're going to make some of the most people, the people you're going to make most mad at you are the people that you're convicting by the way you live. And you'll make people mad at you for that. And that's exactly what Abel did to Cain. And Cain got greatly, as the Bible says here, wroth, angered, jealous. And verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, this is the result of his sin. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Look at what the Lord did. The very thing that Cain was so proud of was a basket of fruit, a basket of produce, the very thing that he produced with his hands and he thought should be good enough for the Lord, and the Lord should accept it. You accept what I've done. Obviously, very, very poor, very, very poor attitude. But Dr. Evans used to always have a class here, And it was called Preparations of Leadership. And one of the things he would always talk about is your attitude and how your attitude is at the moment you hear the truth, whether it be the gospel or any kind of truth that the Lord wants you to hear concerning your walk with him. Whatever your attitude is will greatly determine, he would say, could even greatly determine your salvation. Whether or not when you hear the truth of the gospel, you'll accept it. And boy, if you've been witnessing very much, boy, can't you see that? The attitude of people when you're out there. But at the same time, to the Christian, your attitude often can be the thing that keeps you from ever realizing the power of real truth and the blessings of God on our lives because we have followed and we have obeyed. Now look at what the Lord has done. He's obviously taken it to the nth degree. Cain is not just ridiculed or fought with his brother, he's killed his brother. What a sad story. And after all of that, the Lord himself coming to him and trying to correct him, hoping that by correcting him, he hopes that I can change his heart. But even in that kind of experience right there, what did Cain do? Totally rejected it. And as the Lord is doling out his punishment, telling henceforth, this is what's going to happen for you, that the land won't even yield to the work that you do that you thought would save you and bring you through. What did Cain say? In verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He's totally worried about himself. He's showing no remorse. God is standing here. He's totally rejecting the Lord, being sarcastic to him, being disrespectful to him. But he, in essence, is demanding that his work be respected, which was not based upon obedience, not based upon obedience at all, but based upon what he wanted to do. Most important thing that we can do is just learn to obey. If I could say anything to you today, I know I'm not that old. I'm not saying it like that. But if there's anything I've learned by this age from the men that I've been around and that I watched them when they got older, one of the first things I always just trust the Lord and obey him. I like that little old song that we always sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. When I read the story about Cain here, the saddest thing about it all, you realize he grew up in the same home Abel did. He had the same parents Abel did. Everybody here, matter of fact, this is one of the most equality-driven places I've ever been at. This is a very equal place. Arms open to everybody here who wants to come, serve the Lord, learn the truth, and go out there and do great things for God. That's what's always been so great about this Bible college. I want to challenge you this today, even when I know we're young right now, but as I sit back here and I'm 60 and I look back on some of the things that I've had to deal with, Brother Jack, in my lifetime, and the things we've had to deal with, there's been a lot of things out there, very testing, very challenging, a lot of temptations. A lot of things the devil's going to try to do to pull you away from this. And you've got to understand, that is what Cain did. He rejected God and he chose Satan. When we reject the things of God and we don't trust in the things of God, what we're doing is we're choosing anything other than God, and that's of the devil. I challenge you today, keep it first and foremost. Trust and then obey him. Put your faith in Christ. That means when I say put your faith, I'm not just talking salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the scriptures have made us wise unto salvation. But when Paul is talking to Timothy there, he's not talking about a man he's trying to win to Christ. He's talking about a man he's trying to encourage and challenge and convince him the most important thing that he'll do is to live for God. And I'd say today the most important decision you'll ever make is you decide today, I'm going to live for God. Nothing's going to pull me away from it. You know, after 30-something years, of being in college, on college campuses, three different Bible colleges, I've seen a lot of people fall away. If you study Baptist history, which I think is one of the most important history classes that a Christian can take, if you'll study your church history, Baptist history, you'll see one of the biggest issues in church history is people falling away. In other words, think about the people that you went to youth group with. Where are they now? They walked down the aisle just like you did. They surrendered for the cause. One of the things I so appreciate about Brother Hiles, Jack, is when I remember as a 10-year-old boy, I surrendered to full-time Christian work. And he didn't just leave me down there. He brought me up and had me stand around about halfway up the steps. And what he was doing, I didn't realize at the time. I thought he was literally saying I was a cute kid, and he was just trying to say, look at this cute young man surrendering to full-time ministry. And I realized later that wasn't true. But the point, what he was doing, he was making big of the decision. Don't forget the decision you made to get you here. One of the things I used to do here was also dean of married students. We had about 175 married students that would come to college here. And after several years of doing that, I got to the point where I'd have them all fill out a testimony. I'd have them fill out a testimony as why they're here. On the very first day of college, they're all excited. They've moved, they've packed up the home, they've packed up the wife and moved here, and they get a little apartment somewhere in a cruddy side of town or in a trailer or something like that, and they're all excited and they're gung-ho. And then about a month or two in, when the work schedule and the class schedule and the sleep schedule or lack of it and all the different things began to converge on them, that's when their faith was really being tested. What are we, 2 months in now? You got a schedule that's tough. Family issues are going to come up. Back church home issues are going to come up. All kinds of issues are going to pop up in your life. And you got to continue trusting God and obeying what he asks you to do. I'd always look at those married folks when they'd come to my office and they would come in and they'd say, I feel like I need to go home, Brother Whitehouse. I'd reach over, open up my file drawer, reach over, find their file, find their little sheet of where they gave the great stories to how they got here, the wonderful story that they were so proud to write down and tell, the wife and the husband together, just writing it all down and excited about what they're doing. Pull it out and I'd say, read that for me. When you came, people probably had you convinced this is what we always would laugh at. It was like it was going to be another youth conference when you got here. It was just one big long youth conference or one big long camp. And it was all going to be camp, 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 fun, fun, fun. Then you get here and what is it? It's three papers from one class alone. It's long tests that you say, man, how am I supposed to know all this? It's all of that together. And all of it is just pushing on you. What's it doing? It's building you and it's building your faith. Just trust the system. Work with it. Don't step out and do your own thing. Stay in it. Keep your head in the game. Work with it. And just keep asking, Lord, help me through today. Lord, help me through today. And you know what you learn to do? You learn to depend on him every day. That's a great part of your college experience. One of the papers that they're going to have to do in the U.S. history class is on Andrew Jackson. On the scheme of things, now that I'm in here, I'm not going to say this down there in that room over there, though. In that room down over there, you need to know Andrew Jackson. Up here, I'm going to sit and say, but the most important thing you need to learn about that paper is the one, just do what you're asked. Learn to do the work. Get her done. Reach within inside yourself and make yourself do what you're asked to do. That's the most important thing about the paper, is just learning to do what's expected, what's been requested. And what happens at the end? You get a respectable grade. It's like life. Life is the same way. When we give God our lives and we just trust him and obey him, it's like Paul. All I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. I want to challenge you today to stick with it. To be honest with you, you're going to have to reach inside yourself and keep provoking the spirit that you need to get through when the days are aggravating. And that's what you got to do. Nobody can do that for you. Chapel will be there to try to inspire you and encourage you. If you're hanging around the right people will encourage you and lift you up. I had a guy named Paul Richardson that I worked with. He's over in Michigan City now pastoring. We both just kept leaning on each other as we went through Bible college, pulling each other along, and we both did it. Find that right person to hang around with that encourages you to stay with it, to stick with it. Don't be a Cain and decide, well, I'll turn my paper in the way I want to do it, and I'll put an F on it. Is that what I want to do? No. My goal is that every student that comes in my classes gets an A. That's always been my goal. I've said that to students from the first day I started teaching here. But it doesn't happen. But that's my goal. Because why? I want you to know the truth. Whatever class I'm in, there's a truth. And I want that truth learned. And I feel like it's supposed to be something that you're supposed to take in. Whatever your classes are, it was prayed over and set up by an administration that felt this is what you need. Accept it. Trust it. Trust God that your life is planned, and trust him, and then just obey. You'll be far happier. And one of these days when you're done, you'll have a diploma. And that diploma just won't represent some graduation day. It's going to represent all these days of 4 years, every day in class, doing what I'm supposed to do, trusting the system, trusting in God, leaning in God. And at the end, I can get the praise that Abel got. I did a good job. I did what I was supposed to do. And you can always take pride in that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. I cannot begin to thank you for all that you've done for me. I owe you more than I could ever repay. Thank you for these students. May you bless their lives, Brother Jack.